Listen to this roster report for a mini camp wrap-up. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, coming to you live from Gillette Stadium on June 16th. This is the Ross Report Podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. Today you can hear Brian Lowe, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale talk about all the news from minicamp and, of course, the roster.
Thanks very much, Laurie. We are here with the Patriots Roster Report on a Friday as we are now past the Patriots mandatory minicamp. A very interesting minicamp for sure these last 3 days. I'm joined by Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, and we are going to talk about minicamp and some of our observations, but as is often the case with something like this, the biggest news is often the players who weren't on the field, and obviously wide receiver Deion Branch is the big story. He was a no-show. Tight end Daniel Graham, who also was not seen on the field at all, has been in the news as well due to trade rumors. So we're going to talk about both of those two, and for sure we're going to start with Deion Branch. The team is obviously thin at wide receiver. Branch pulling basically what Richard Seymour did last year, not showing up to minicamp, and we'll see in about 6 weeks if he shows up to training camp, if nothing gets done between now and then. Where do you guys see the Deion Branch situation standing right now, and how has it impacted, and how will it impact the rest of the wide receiver core?
Well, I think it impacted the wide receiver core at camp specifically in that you had a lot of guys getting opportunities because what was already a thin wide receiving core loses its number one guy, so everybody bumps up, and guys like Bam Childress and John Stone and, you know, the bunch of other no-name bottom-of-the-roster guys got an opportunity to open some eyes, and at least for John Stone specifically, you know, Tom Brady was kind of referencing him. He was running with the first group, so, you know, guys took a chance with the opportunity, but where does it end? I think it ends with Deion Branch on opening day playing wide receiver for the Patriots, however it works out.
Right, that's most likely, and we've talked about wide receiver the last couple of weeks as well, and Troy Brown, Rishay Caldwell, Chad Jackson are your top three, and they were, you know, the top three guys out there, but the guys like John Stone, Michael McGrew, Bam Childress, Zuriel Smith, Matt Shelton, those are guys who, you know, one or two of them might end up making the team, but, for sure, I think Deion Branch's situation probably will, work itself out.
I don't know what you mean by work itself out. I think he'll be here. I don't know if he'll get his extension or not.
Well, that's kind of, but from a fan's perspective and a team perspective, that's somewhat irrelevant because all they care about is does Deion Branch play 16 games, right? Whether he's happy
or
not,
this year,
who cares?
It'll be a problem next year if he isn't here for the fans and for the team.
But for the short term, do you agree that you think he'll play
16 games if he's healthy this year for the Patriots?
Well, it certainly was no surprise when we walked in on Tuesday morning at the first practice and didn't see Deion there. It was no surprise when he wasn't there Wednesday or Thursday either. Daniel Graham, not out on the field. There's a shoulder injury, I believe, is what was ailing him. And there's several guys, including guys like Jarvis Green, Nick Kazier, Patrick Pass, guys who have miscellaneous injuries and weren't seen on the field, and really no specific information given. But with Graham, there have been some trade rumors, and you know, there's an Ashley Lalee rumor. He's been rumored to be going, and maybe Daniel Graham heading out to Denver. Bill Belichick, in an ESPN.com report, I believe on Thursday, completely shot down any Daniel Graham rumors. What do you make of the fact? I found it interesting that Belichick actually addressed a specific trade rumor. What do you guys make of that, and do you pretty much see it as being a dead issue at this point?
Yeah, I did find it interesting that he would come out and publicly acknowledge a rumor like that. He has done it occasionally in the past, but I don't think it's something that he generally deals with. He usually deals with, as he says all the time, the players that are here. Maybe he figures Daniel Graham is a player that's here, so maybe that's why he chose to do it this time. But yeah, when he says I have no plans to trade Daniel Graham this year, I have to take that at face value. I think very rarely do the Patriots back themselves into a corner where something that they say can be thrown completely back in their face, you know, as a bold-faced lie. So my guess is that Daniel Graham will be here. And we saw him. He is here in Foxborough. We saw him going out to practice a couple of times, just not on the field. He didn't go to the field, obviously, with the players. So I don't know where Branch is exactly. He could be here as well. But we saw Graham, and I my guess is that he's not going anywhere.
And we saw Ben Watson catch about 300 balls during minicamp. And if Daniel Graham goes, now all of a sudden Watson has to become more of a blocking tight end. And they don't want that. They need Watson to catch 60, 70 balls this year.
Right. At this stage, knowing that if they traded Daniel Graham, there's virtually no chance of getting a quality tight end, blocking tight end. And this team is not very deep at tight end. They have well, three on the roster, depending on what you count Garrett Mills at, and that's kind of questionable. But absolutely, the observation on Benjamin Watson I noticed as well, especially the first couple of days. I mean, he basically is a wide receiver. Or he seems to be all but a wide receiver, at least in this camp, catching balls everywhere, lining up all over the place, and clearly a top target of Tom Brady. And whether Daniel Graham is hurt, healthy, whatever, I think Benjamin Watson is going to be a top target in
right.
this offense.
And you mentioned he did move around a little bit, but no matter where he lined up, even when they're playing against air with no defenders, Tom Brady threw to Benjamin Watson.
Right. Absolutely.
So that was clearly his first choice, working on that. And I think it's a smart one, because if you're Tom Brady, if Deion Branch isn't here, I think Benjamin Watson is my best option. You know, Troy Brown clearly experienced and all that, but can you count on Troy Brown to be out there in year 14 every play, every week? You know, so Watson might be a guy who you really want to, you know, build that relationship with. And this is now kind of his second year with Brady. So
yeah, right.
he's still young. This is kind of that year two rookie
right.
jump for him with the quarterback.
His rookie year was virtually completely wiped away due to injury. So he's been in the system for two full seasons. But
right.
this is really, he's entering his second
year. Watch for him to be big in the red zone area this year.
Although another guy who popped up in the red zone quite a bit was Chad Jackson. In a lot of the work, he ran a lot of crossing patterns in the middle of the end zone, and he and Brady hooked up three or four times, and that was against actual coverage,
yep.
where they were going against defensive backs, and Jackson beat Ellis Hobbs for a couple different scores in the middle of the end zone.
Now, we were all waiting to hear and see and hear from Corey Dillon and Lawrence Maroney, see how that situation is playing itself out. Corey Dillon, obviously the veteran, coming off a poor year, an injury-marred year, but still, you know, here nonetheless, and Lawrence Maroney, the first-round pick. We heard an extraordinarily entertaining few minutes with Corey Dillon yesterday. We heard from Lawrence Maroney earlier in the week giving praise to Dillon and the relationship that they have. It's only June, and we still have 3 months before they're actually lining up, but what do you guys think in terms of the ball-carrying distribution that we're going to see on this team?
I'll let one of these other guys handle the serious nature of this, but you need to get in with Corey Dillon, work on the schmuck rather than smuck line.
Yeah.
Well,
I wasn't
being
sure
of
if
the
it was
Jewish religion.
Oh,
would probably
it,
be able to help him out
a little
with that.
Yiddish, no?
Right?
Yeah, well, I thought when I first listened, I thought he was saying the word smug. But
I wasn't sure what he was saying.
Well, I thought he was saying
he wasn't.
I thought he was saying smug, but the fact that he said I don't want to be a smug
right.
that obviously I
definitely was saying schmuck, but said
okay.
smuck.
Although just so we other people were confused too. I saw some reports that put in brackets in the quote
sure.
jerk.
Yeah. So that aside, you want to turn it over to these guys?
Tom Casale would like to talk about Corey Dillon.
The thing about Dillon is he's 33 years old. Now, no matter what,
33,
he's 31.
He'll be 32
in October. At the end of October.
Middle of the season,
right.
yeah.
But the bottom line is that only five...
Don't get his age wrong.
Oh, right, he's 32, sorry.
Don't come to 28's locker
Don't
with incorrect
locker
information.
28.
Only five backs at that age have ever rushed for over 1,000 yards. And I don't think people realize the amount of punishment this guy's taken. You can say a lot of bad things about Corey Dillon, but one thing you can't say is that he's not tough. He never ran out of bounds. He looks for contact. He ran people over numerous times in his career, and I just think he's an Earl Campbell, Jim Brown type where he's starting to wear down because
right.
of all the physical punishment he's taken over the years.
And correct me if I'm wrong, he's really only had two seasons where he's missed significant amounts of time, right? His last year in Cincinnati and last year?
Yeah.
Even last year he played 12 games, I think it was. So most years he hasn't missed a ton of time in
his
career.
He's had tons of carries. 2,400 plus carries in his career. That's
the one
a
good
lot
thing
of
is
carries.
That it's not, you know, some running backs who are on good teams have at this point in their careers almost an extra season of postseason
right,
play.
But still though,
he doesn't have
Emmitt Smith carries. Emmitt Smith didn't get hit hard a lot cuz he's so small and he knew how to duck away from contact. Dillon, he's like the bus. He just puts his head down and runs you over. So
although,
it's a different kind of runner.
Last year, he did start to avoid contact at times, and that was
That's
one of the things that really worried me,
yeah.
is turning his back to the defender and, I think, running out of bounds on occasion. I agree with you. Up until last
right,
year,
no,
he was
right
a guy who didn't
year.
Go out of bounds. The year before, we just praised him for throwing that flipper and just trying to really knock
that
the crap out
arm.
Of defenders before he went out of bounds. Last year, he did shy away from contact, so I still have my worries. Nothing he said yesterday make me feel like Corey Dillon's going to go out and rush for 1,300
yards. I think if he gets between 800 and 1,000 yards, that is a successful season for Dillon. You know, you throw in 5-6 from Maroney, boom, there you
and
go.
Let's not forget about Kevin Falk, who I thought looked
yeah,
very good this
he
week.
He did. Very
I think Kevin Falk had a terrific camp.
Paul, I know you mentioned MVP of the week.
Yeah. Mr. Camp.
So, you know, obviously health is always
Mr.
the issue.
Mr. Minicamp.
And Patrick Pass was not out there. Want to touch on a few other positions, real quick. Let's stick with the offense right now. Offensive line. Matt Light was back out there. If you didn't know he had an injury last year, I don't think you would notice anything this week to make you say coming back from an injury. He lined up at his normal spot.
I agree.
Nothing to worry about there. Dan Copen, on the other hand, we saw him at the golf tournament on Monday. He seemed to me to be very upbeat and optimistic. He was not out in the field. I'm not sure if we expect to see him line up at center on the first day of training camp or not. We'll have to wait.
Well, he did tell us that he would not be on the field for minicamp.
For minicamp, right. As did Rodney Harrison as well. We'll get to that in a second. Any other observations on the offensive line?
Kazier was an interesting one. He wasn't there.
He was not there, right.
That's kind of something to keep an eye on, you know.
I think
Gorin was not there either, so it bumped Wesley Britt couple spots up
exactly.
the depth chart for right tackle.
Guys like Wesley Britt, Ross Tucker, these are some guys who, if we don't see guys like Kazier and Copen at training camp, these are the guys who are going to be out there. Quarterback. Four of them were out there. After Tom Brady, it's Matt Cassel, Todd Mortensen, and
you can
Corey
stop
Bramlett.
After Matt Cassel.
I'll say, four of them were out there. Two of them could throw the football.
Right. I know you guys. When do we expect? I think across the board, we expect a veteran to be in here at some point. Who and when?
I don't know who, but now for when, because they need a guy who can throw the football.
Right.
After watching, not trying to take shots at those guys. They're young quarterbacks, whatever. But Bramlett and Mortensen simply cannot throw the football. Look nothing like Cassel and Brady.
Cassel looked good. I think Cassel's kind of like Jim Sorgi in Indianapolis. Sorgi split time in college with Brooks Bollinger, and they kind of brought him into their system, and now they feel really comfortable with him being a backup. I think Cassel's about 1 year away from that.
Yeah.
So having a veteran here just in case, a Jeff Blake or someone to be the third team quarterback makes sense.
Because you're going to have three quarterbacks, so if you're going to have a guy, he might as well be a guy who you actually think could play for you in an emergency.
You're going to have three quarterbacks, and Todd Mortensen and Corey Bramlett.
Won't be
it's
one.
Hard
won't
to
be
say.
Will be the third.
Right. The kicker position, you know, Stephen Gostkowski got rave reviews for the way he ended practice on Thursday, avoiding wind sprints for the entire team. Martin Gramatica, Stephen Gostkowski, we've seen five practices. Any way to know where that lies?
Paul was filling in for Fred Kirsch this weekend,
yes.
And he says it's over. Good night. Give it to Gostkowski.
I think there's a clear difference in the way they kick. Now, we didn't see a lot. Now, quite frankly, they didn't really show us a lot. And I think that was probably intentional on the coaching staff's part. They didn't kick a lot while we were out there.
No.
And I thought that during kickoff drills, while they may have had similar distance on their kickoffs, I thought Gostkowski's were much higher, whereas Gramatica's seemed to be low-line drives that, in all honesty, you're very returnable generally in the NFL. Field goal-wise, and I read some reports. Andy was actually telling me one of the reports in the Boston Globe today called it, described the rookies' kicks as booming, whereas the other ones were just, you know, he made them, but they weren't as impressive. I don't know exactly what that means, but I felt that there was better contact made or something. I feel like the
put the ball.
Gostkowski has a stronger leg in my mind at this time. The ball looks different.
That's easy. That's
the ball looks different coming off his foot than it does Gramatica's. Yep. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it was just a couple of days at minicamp or what.
Gramatica did have one blocked. He did have one low kick that was blocked.
And Tom pointed out, I think, in one of the updates one of these days, that was a big problem for him toward the end in Tampa Bay, was his kicks were low quite frequently, and he was even getting, at one point, extra points blocked.
Yeah. He doesn't appear to have the strong leg that he had, whatever it is now, 6 years ago. I mean, when he came out of college, he had a strong leg.
Right.
It just appears, for some reason, injury, age, whatever, that's gone. He's no longer that kind of kicker.
A couple things now on the defensive side, the defensive line. The biggest things to me were Jarvis Green not out there at all. He's, you know, sort of your primary backup defensive lineman. Jonathan Sullivan.
Well, he was he was the biggest thing to some people.
He was the biggest thing, yeah. A tub of goo, I believe, I saw written one place.
Thought was unfair, by the way.
Yeah, he looks
like
too, what he's supposed to look like. Defensive tackle.
I think he looks huge, but I think that's the way he's supposed
he's
to
a,
look.
He's a so, big guy, but I don't think he's as big as Wilfork.
You want to talk about goo.
Yeah, Wilfork is but I mean, Sullivan, you know, I spoke to him for just a couple minutes. He seemed pretty soft-spoken, not a lot to say, which is probably what he was told when he first showed up. Do not say a thing. Keep your mouth shut. Any quick impressions on him?
Well, just the fact that he said he wants to completely leave everything that happened in New Orleans in New Orleans, and he's forgetting it all. He can't bring anything in terms of football here to New England. He's never played in the 3-4, and nothing he did in New Orleans is like anything he's doing here. And Bill Belichick agreed with that, that he needs to just leave everything that happened in New Orleans on and off the field in New Orleans.
And his conditioning's got to get a little better. He was, sure. You know, he was laboring towards the end of some of those practices. But, you know, I'm sure the Patriots knew that coming in. They'll get him into their conditioning program and see how it goes during training camp.
Yeah, let's not misrepresent it. He's fat and he's supposed to be. Vince Wilfork's fat and he's supposed to be.
Right. That was
my point. That's why I thought it was unfair that the comparison that Mike Felger made in the Herald was that Seymour and Marquise Hill and
Warren.
You know, and Warren are slender and sleek.
Their ends.
And, well, they play a different position than Sullivan does. And he says Wilfork is big, but he's supposed to be. Well, so is Sullivan. That's what Jonathan Sullivan is. He has no designs on being, you know, a stand-up rush end off the edge. You know, he is not Richard Seymour.
Right. Linebacker. Monty Beisel.
Is your number four linebacker.
Pretty clearly is a starting linebacker. I saw him pick off Tom Brady yesterday.
In the end zone.
In the end zone. You know, who knows what.
Tully Bantakane is not starting.
Tully Bantakane, I thought, had a, I heard his name called out a few times.
Tully Bantakane did not win a lot of, praise. There was one, at
didn't
one,
get a high five
at one,
from the head coach.
At one point, Andy and I saw him get a high five well. By the head coach. That was dwarfed by the amount of times I heard his name in anger. By
and
I heard
the question has been answered. Monty Beisel is your fourth linebacker. Yes.
And how did you think he did this week?
I think he looked fine in shorts. I mean, I think most defensive players look fine in shorts.
As Bruschi would say, it's too early to tell.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
His problem was tackling, and they weren't tackling out
there. I'll give you one play specifically that Andy and I were talking about yesterday. They had a little goal line drill going on.
Nolan ran through him.
You know, Beisel comes up, read the play perfectly, stepped right into the hole. Now there's no pads, there's no nothing. He reaches out and grabs Dylan. Dylan ran right through him.
Said something to him.
Who knows? I mean, maybe he makes that tackle and you look and you say, well, Beisel looked great on that play. Or he misses that tackle
right.
And you say, same problems that we've seen in
and
the past.
And anyone else, we don't even notice the play.
Exactly.
It's because
his
problem
was
tackling at the goal line.
That's the tackle he needs to make.
That's the tackle
right
he needs to make. He was right where he was supposed to be. He was decisive with his moves. He filled the hole just like Teddy Bruschi or Ted Johnson would have. The question is, and we saw it last
year.
Does
LaDainian Tomlinson run through the arm tackle for 6 points?
Does he get the running back down? And it was funny because there was some interaction between Dylan and Beisel on the play, and they kind of joked about it, and Beisel, you know, gave him a slap on the helmet when it was done, and Andy laughed and said, well, we've seen that before. I wonder if he would have tackled him.
Yeah, exactly. Real quickly in defensive back, wide open.
I think Ellis Hobbs looked phenomenal out there.
Ellis Hobbs looked good.
I don't know what it is, but I think he has it.
Right.
I think Eric Warfield.
I think he thinks he has it. Too.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good for a cornerback.
Exactly.
I think you have to have that.
Yeah, and I think Eric Warfield doesn't have it, and I think he's on the bubble. Yeah. And I thought it was interesting that Eugene Wilson was at practice but didn't participate in a lot of drills.
Very quiet. Yeah, he wasn't around. Randall Gay was not out there at all. I don't think. I think Hank Poteet was out the first day but back out.
James Sanders got a lot of reps at safety.
James Sanders got some reps. You know, Tabucky Jones to me seems to be he seems to be active. Whatever. You know,
I
noticed him a lot.
If Rodney Harrison is not in the picture, I'm expecting Tabucky Jones to definitely have a good chance to start.
I just in watching, like, you know, I just seem to notice him a lot. He seemed to be out there a lot, very vocal as well. Real quickly on special teams, you know, kick and punt returns, another thing that's really wide open. I saw a ton of guys getting reps, Willie Andrews, Chad Jackson, Richie Caldwell.
One of those guys who will not be getting reps at punt return during training camp is Chad Jackson. He just looked uncomfortable doing it. I thought Willie Andrews on kickoff returns looked very good.
I think he's
most
the guy.
Impressive.
I think he has
to make the roster.
Well, he does have to make the roster.
He might make the roster because of that.
I think he's, I agree. I agree with that. Any final thoughts from this mini camp?
One question. Eugene Wilson, possibility they move him back to corner? Yes or no?
I think that there's something to that, and I spoke with Gino a little bit after practice on Wednesday.
They're tight.
Yeah. I am a little tight with him, by the way.
I don't know if you know, but Paul's a big deal.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal around here.
Didn't come out and say, I asked him about possibility of playing more cornerback, and he gave me the Pat Belichick answer of, you know, Bill likes to have a lot of guys doing different roles, and I kind of looked at him and wondered if maybe I asked him if there was maybe a little bit more to it, and he kind of gave me a smile. He was definitely working strictly as a cornerback at times, although some reports had him not dressed for practice. And he did not miss any of the five practices that were open to the media. So it's funny how different things, you know, you can notice different
things. Reports had him in full pads.
Yeah, it was one report had the first practice of minicamp in full pads.
And not a single shoulder pad was worn.
No, and a single one. So you never really know what you're seeing out there. But I agree with Tom. I think there's a possibility of Wilson plays more cornerback.
Well, shoulder pads or no shoulder pads, helmets or no helmet, they had helmets on, unlike quarterback in Pittsburgh earlier this week. But aside from that,
wow,
certainly plenty of... I think it deserved one, but certainly plenty of intrigue from minicamp.
I'm a smug.
Certainly plenty of intrigue, and we touched on. We only scratched the surface on this podcast when it comes to Patriots roster.
In next week's podcast, I'm going to have B-Lo read my bio.
If you show it to me, I will read it to you.
Won't
what
take
does
long.
This say? But we will certainly have more on the minicamp and more on see if any roster moves are made. Maybe veteran quarterback between now and next Friday. In the meantime, be sure to keep on checking patriots.com for all the updates and go back to other updates that are all archived on the site from during this week. Articles by the three gentlemen who I'm sitting at a table with right now. New updates on Patriots Today each day, so plenty to check out here on patriots.com. That wraps up this podcast for today. Back over to Laura.
Thanks, guys. Remember, if you want more information on the Patriots 3-day minicamp, check out patriots.com. That's all for this last report. Come back next Friday for all the latest updates. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!